in the classroom. So that already eliminate no classroom for this. So what are the solutions? The solutions from Dan O'Reilly from MIT, he has been saying that people become more ethical simply by thinking about it. So if you can remind people how important ethics is of not stealing, well, that's why they designed the calendar, the Gregorian calendar, to be 7 days, because the church found out that people become optimal to have a 7-day reminder of certain issues, ethics and morals and so on. So 7 days is a good thing. That's why that's the week of worship in that case, and so a frequent reminder jives really well with reminding people. And informal learning, it's also good in the sense that you are using their own time. So young people just love to have the control of when and where and how they're going to watch this video and be measure it. So how do we measure it? We measure it with this World Civility Index. So every time they watch something like this, it's 1 point. Now, you say that, well, that's very loosey-goosey. How do I know that person actually watched it and so on? Well, that's where the little questions at the end, they're not testing them on ethics and so on, but they're testing, like, what color of the car was in that video or something like that. So they have to watch it. Otherwise, they will not know. And if they try to guess, they lose that $5. They wouldn't be able to do it again because we know they're trying to cheat. So there's a, if it's 99 cents, they may not care too much. They just guess. But they lose the chance to gain one World Civility Index point. Now, from my background as a rocket science person, there is something that I went and talked to some of my colleagues, and what they do is they measure chaos. So there's a whole field of measuring chaos. And if you also borrow something from economics, they also have a way to measure chaos and uncertainty. Just as what you were talking about, the corporate rate, the corporates are going to be confused. They just don't think this is good and so on. And unfortunately, in this fast-changing world, those who can't understand or try to manage chaos are going to be big losers. And that's why you see companies like United Airlines, they follow everything by the book. And look at what happened. The life is stranger than fiction. If you say that, there's going to be, airline employee dragging this poor man out of the seat, yelling and screaming, they don't have any listening skills. They can't even listen to that, their customers are yelling and screaming, literally. So there's no literal listening skills at that. That's the joke in the research world, is they have no listening skills. But beyond that, so the World Civility Index is an index just like the Human Development Index they have in economics. They try to measure something that is hard to measure, that is imprecise, and the stock market. They have something called the Dow Jones Index, or the Hang Seng Index, or the FTSE Index, and so on. Those are all techniques measuring chaos. And that's why we have the World Civility Index. It's, okay, one time the video was not very good, we picked a bad one, it wasn't very good, is 1 point. But the next point they get will be another video that could be very good, and the person pay a lot of attention. So you have some that are up, some are low, some are high, and so on. But on the average, they do learn something, and that is what is important. And when you take it over time, that's why I stress that the cell phone learning has to be over time. That is week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. Then you see improvement. And it's a background thing. It's not something that they do at the office, but they do it on their own time. So those are kind of scientific research and also observation in the field that has culminated to this index thing. this informal learning, and they're saying that people are making a lot of gains by using this informal learning, micro learning, kind of measurement. And to top it all off, I have actually written a white paper over the weekend, talk about with all what I've said, and I'll show it to you. In fact, I'm collaborating with this PhD guy, John Mattox, from Gartner. This guy is from this multinational Gartner, and they are taking a big interest in what we're doing. And I show him and talk to him about this idea about World Civility Index. They're very interested in it. I don't know how far it's going to go because there are, of course, politics in any big organization. Not that our idea is not good. It's just that they may want to do it themselves. So we're coming up against big companies that want to maybe steal our ideas of World Civility Index. That is what I'm fighting against right now. But the idea is sound, they're, you know, they want to, you know, it's a huge market. When they talk about something like soft skills, where they can go to every company, Gartner can go to 15,000 companies that they work with, and just say, well, here, there's this cell phone learning, and we're going to charge you $5 per employee per week. That is a multi-billion dollar business we're talking about.
There's someone who has background noise. Can you please mute?
Oh, did...
probably not you, but there was a lot of background noise while you were sharing. And okay. In the meantime, I switched on the recording. I'm sorry, I just thought about it 6 minutes ago.
I would, after this meeting, I'll share with you the white paper.
Lynn, are you having background noise?
Yeah, I did. It's not me.
No, I understand. But it's on your microphone.
The buzzing, you mean? Yeah, I do hear buzzing.
I'm not hearing anything. Oh, I'm just sitting here.
Oh, for me there was a lot of background noise. Oh, if it's just for me, it's fine.
Something like that, like I don't know, like metal clanking or something.
Sound like a printer.
Yeah, so once I email you the white paper, let me know. There are a lot of research being done at this stage, because this is a very very difficult field. There's a lot of disconnection in this world, ladies. Teams are being assembled and reassembled and disassembled on a quarterly basis. Team no longer works together for years. They don't know each other very well, and they're pulled to another team. I got a cousin who works for Google, and he's saying that, you know, it's nothing like what you think. It's chaotic. It's hard, and unless you are really smart and you can latch on to working in an environment of ambiguity, you won't survive. That's how the world is. So when companies come to you and say, we want definite this and this and that, they are the dinosaurs, really. So we have to educate them. And that is like, how do you measure chaos? And my white paper, it's an attempt to address how do you measure chaos and things that are not easy to measure, like civility and so on. And that is, if you borrow something from nuclear physics, ladies, you can measure mass and momentum directly. You can measure the position of an atom, but you can measure the manifestation of it. So in other words, without going into details, we are not measuring how much a person get for every single video they watch, but we are measuring the average of it. And over 20, 30, or 40 videos, there will be improvement So we're giving them, you know, if they have watched 30 videos, they get 30 points on the World Civility Index. That is a number just like the Human Development Index or Dow Jones Index or Nikkei Index. That means something. It doesn't mean anything if you look at the individual company in that stock exchange. But when you look at the aggregate, the average of hundreds or maybe even thousands of companies, you do see the trend. So companies, now the next thing would be, how do people use this World Civility Index? This is one suggestion that Gartner, this John Maxter, PhD guy, and I are talking about. They can go out and use this World Civility Index from ET, and Gartner can make a lot of money doing consulting for companies, because this is how they can do. Okay, let's say all the employees start using the ET cell phone learning, and Gartner can go in and say, well, why don't you do an average of the World Civility Index? If you have 1,000 employees and the World Civility Index per employee is 20. Well, now that's a number they can use versus another group, another company who has the World Civility Index average per employee of 10. Well, then you know that 20 average is quote unquote better, more aware, more of soft skills than a company who has 10. That is a big thing. That is something that is like you inventing another Dow Jones average, Dow Jones Index, or Nikkei Index, or Human Development Index, or World Happiness Index. That can measure macroeconomics in a big way. And that can help multinational companies move forward, because we're not talking about one individual not learning something or goofing off or something. We're talking about thousands of employees watching thousands of these mini lessons over time. And that is how they can measure, and that's what they call big data in some field. Is they take a lot of data from you, from I, on Facebook, on our banking habits and so on, and they're not interested in poking into your own private life, but on an aggregate, on average, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, they can see the trend. And that's what big companies want to do. Is do they want to see big trends within their 100,000 employee company? And there are many of those companies around, and that is what we are out to capture, and we can capture that in a very big way. So I think just by you going out there and getting resistance and objections is very healthy, because they just don't know yet. And until we can show them why that is the case, it's a very natural reaction what they have. That's my spiel.
So you have a partner.
Well, this guy is not a partner of ours, but is a collaborator, John Maxter, mm-hmm. PhD in from Gartner, the Gartner group, I guess.
No, but
call
I
them.
Mean a partner in thinking and in who agrees or disagrees with what you're saying, and you learn from him and.
I learned from him. There's another guy, Dan O'Reilly from MIT. Now he's at Duke University. Mm-hmm. And he was the guy who talked about how do you improve people's morals. And it's very informative. There's another company called Biz Library. They did a lot of work on why videos are good for you. There's also an elderly gentleman from Stanford called Albert Mandura, and he's a psychologist. He talks about how people learn culture, how young people and old people they learn how to change their behavior, and it's through observation. So videos is a passive means, and people can learn. So those are all the research distillation that I have found, and this is all in the white paper there. I made quotes as to, you know, who said what, and those are, when you put all of them together, the ET cell phone learning, it's the way to go.
Okay, so where does that leave us with level two?
Level two, let me see. I'm trying to...
I love the idea of showing a video because I always look from an international angle to the English written stories and sentences and words, and it's so much easier if there's a video, even subtitled in multiple languages. That would be wonderful. And then, well, there's still work to be done on the questions, but if we could be looking for a 10 that would fit our needs for level 2. It would need to be an open-ended video with a multiple solution options, I would think.
Yeah, to answer Lynn's question along with Reed, the videos are not, doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. We can have videos on the, of course, for the cell phone, but that doesn't mean that we cannot have videos for the written exam either. Does it help, Lynn?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So, in theory, that would be a way to attempt starting a level 2. As for level 3, I think we just should not have that up there right now, because I think that level 2 is what we're all about. I don't know. You were thinking of an application. An in-person interview with level 3.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, with the Rocktel interviews and so on. Yeah, the hardest of the soft skills on the left side here, as I'm showing. It doesn't cover any civility as I noted here. Because I'm thinking that a lot of it can cover on the right side. The left side would be all the etiquette, all the traditional elevator, taking a taxi, so on and so forth. Level 3, now we have all our opinions. I'm thinking about teaching them how to appreciate classical music, how to appreciate golf, how to appreciate meditation, how to appreciate all the finer things in life that as a CEO or somebody like that, you have to know those stuff, so that when you go out and mingle, when people talk about that, what's an RBI, what's a gimme in golf, for example. Those are all kinds of things that if you don't know it, you're not gonna die. But you don't fit in as well. You're not as worldly. I know that may not be a good word, but I can't think of another word. You're not as worldly as you should be. So those are the kind of hard skills in this, or the hardest of the soft skills in this world that I'm thinking about.
So on the website, for level 3, it talks about what we had originally, you and I, Patrick, had talked about several years ago. It says, refine reinforcing real-world interaction overseas practicum at our North American Testing Center in Canada. That's what it says on the website. And level 2 says, written exam, 50 computer-based multiple-choice questions with an open interview, 1 minute answering open-ended questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we are not clear and we change our ideas every now and then, it's an understatement, but Maybe we should not even change the wording or take it down. Take level 3 down would be my preference.
We had talked about that like a few years back, Reed, that we didn't want level 2 or level 3 up because or on the website we'd requested that it be taken down because we were unclear about the timeline and what it was going to look like.
Yeah, I didn't take it down because of marketing reasons. People will say, well, level 1, well, what other are there? So, but when we can say that, okay, there are 3 levels we're thinking for business, because business is a big field, then people understand, our associates out there, they understand, they can market it accordingly to their clients.
Yeah, I understand. If it's only level 1 there, you would say, okay, level 1, why is it level 1? It's just the only one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it could just say basic. Or it could just say...
Yeah, but I understand as well that now it looks complicated and it looks well thought and complete, and I think we want that as well.
Yeah, in some part of the world, if we present things too simplistically, they would just brush it off. They would just say, well, this is, you know, that's the, especially in Asia, the Asian mentality is they want to learn something hard. You know, they learn English, they want to learn all the big words before they learn how to use the simple words. That's always their mentality, for better or for worse. So for marketing reason, infographic like this impress them. Whereas if we just say, there's just one thing, and they just go, are you serious? You know, ET is such a big organization, and you just provide one thing, they just wouldn't understand. But whereas if they see, oh, there's business, there's tourists, there's youth, well, then they go, well, then maybe I can think of building a business, a franchise of some kind, in doing something like this.
Patrick, it says on the table, I'm just looking at the website and at the page that you just sent up, and it says, citizens of the world, youth exams, and their respective cell phone learning are offered only in selected countries at the moment. Which country are they offered in?
None right now. Well, I said selected so that people would say, well, you know, what about my country? I go, no, not yet. It's, remember, I'm trying to sell the ideas. I'm not trying to sell the product at this point. And so if you don't show what your ideas are, that ideas will never get out there. But, you know, once the idea is out, people want the product. That's why I'm saying that it's only offered in selected countries. And that's just, you know, saying that, you know, we're not offering to anybody yet, only some. There are people who are very interested in something like this. The youth program, for example, Jessie is very interested in Taiwan. So how does she market it? She also has to sell the ideas to her clients, to Wakang, to the Chinese Cultural University. And there's also society she's starting up. And when she can come back to the ET website and see something like this, then she can talk to people. She can find people to put investment in there, people to work in this kind of projects and so on.
So what's the next step, Patrick? Well, we had a discussion last time when you had to go early, and we said we like to work on something specific, something doable, so that we can contribute. Otherwise, we just talk.
Yeah. Well, I think what you have done with the citizens of the world is wonderful. Making that SNG, because I know Jesse is waiting very desperately to have the SNG so she can design her training program. Mm-hmm. And there are there was one hotel chain in her market that wants to start something like this. So that's one thing. Once the Citizens of the World is up, I would love to talk to the Trump Hotel again, talk to our contacts there and say, well, you know, I really think that you should start training your customers. And they can laugh me out the window or out the door, but at least I have planted a seed in them that they should think radically so that they have a leg up or two compared to their competitors who are not thinking about training the customers. So those are the World Civility Index or the Citizens of the World would come in big time. And the Citizens of the World will also have World Civility Index points. Let me pull that up for you, and so that we can see that.
It says 20 World Civility Index points?
That's right. Yeah, wow, you're fascinating.
I'm looking at the website, actually. It's
wow. Hey, that's cheating there. Okay. Let me pull this up here.
So, okay, so we can continue working on the standards and guidelines of COW, and if that's a top priority, how about this, that I go through the file as it is right now and add what Kimberly added so far and what Deborah contributed that I did not import in there. And then we make it in two or three smaller chunks of information, and so that we don't even have to bother with the whole for a while, mm-hmm. until it's an upgrade version of what's there now.
Yeah.
And then we put it again together. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a very good plan. Mm-hmm.
So, Rita, are you saying that we break it into chunks and different people edit different chunks, or
yeah, it's because... for the next stage, yeah, after this first round of contributions.
Okay, my only concern with that is that each of us, like, for consistency in writing style, it needs to be consistent on, because we each have our own different styles of writing, right? So if I'm writing it in one style and Lynn's doing it in another style and Deborah in a different style and you in a different style, then it's going to be, somebody ultimately is going to have to go through and make it into one style.
Well,
so
I think that's one option. Maybe you have another idea of eating this elephant, because it is quite something. There's a lot of words there.
No, I know, because I went through the first 19 pages already.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know. But so maybe, I don't know, maybe we should have a process where, you know, you do the first and then Lynn does the second and then I look at the third and Deborah finalizes the fourth, or Lillian or whoever finalizes the fourth. And then so it's gone through several pairs of eyes kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But if we're all writing in different styles and we're doing it differently, then it's, somebody at the end of the day is going to have to go through it and finalize it anyway. So I'm just wondering, I don't know, maybe that's not the best way to do it.
Yeah, well, it's a good idea, but then how? You know, because if everyone goes through it and adds some notes, then in the end we have something with a lot of notes.
Right, okay.
So then how do we complete it?
I don't know.
And you know, the way I worked with Lynn on the question pool of the men and women, that's that last stage of the level one. I know that we collected all these comments and then we sat on a call and we distinguished what was so and we talked about it and then recreated some questions and deleted all the mess or all the chaos around it and just put the last version of the question and had it approved. by the board.
So maybe that's what we need to do then, is just, because I mean, that's what Luna and I did too when we worked on that last SMG.
Okay.
But I think if we're all working on different versions or different parts, or we need, either that or we need to clearly define what the writing style needs to be if we're going to keep it out. Because otherwise, because if I'm talking in the first person and Lynn's talking in the, you know.
Yeah, but we don't start all over again. We have something now. We have a first version and it needs to be cleaned, or I don't know, there is blue parts and yellow parts and highlighted parts, and it's not one style at all, but it ends up in with one document, and we can do that and collect, just keep on collecting comments and then complete it in a couple of conversations. It's fine with me. That's a way of working as well.
Okay, well, it doesn't really matter. I just, for me, I don't really mind the way it's done. I just...
Yeah, but then we can say, okay, we are already doing that. So I collected the whole. Then Lynn has seen everything now. Lillian has went through it. You will look into it with the comments you had of the first 19 pages. And then if Deborah can do that as well, then we collected all the comments.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll wait for you then to put it up on the Google Docs with all of the extra stuff, all the latest stuff in, and then if you can let us know when it's up, then I'll take a look.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
So number one is I put it on Google Docs. Two is share the link. Share the link. Then Kimberly goes through it, and Deborah, would you have time to look at it as well?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so Kimberly and Deborah go through it, and then all the comments are collected, and then I will think of something as a next stage. Maybe Lynn, if you have time, we could do the same and have some Skype calls and go through the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And weed out, and then we have something.
Mm-hmm.
Could go pretty fast. Okay, let's do that. You'll hear from me when it's on Google. Thank you. Okay.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Reed. Thank you, everybody. Lillian, are you still online here? Let me see.
Yes, I'm here. Had the microphone muted.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
There's something we want to ask you to see if you want to entertain this idea. The board has talked about having you as one of the ET directors. And in other words, you're joining the board of directors officially. Because all these years you have been joining it as a quote-unquote guest, as the ambassador for the Latin America market. But I think everybody agrees that you are one heck of a conscientious person, tons of business experience and training experience, and you have been with ETs almost since day one, since Hawaii actually. So that was day one. And if you would agree that this is a good thing, then we want to make this official right here.
Thank you. I really appreciate. I didn't expect it, but I'm very happy, and I will be very happy to join as a director. So thank you very much, and thank you for thinking on me. I really like it, and I don't find the real word to be grateful to all of you, and thank you very much.
Oh, Thank you. Welcome to the club.
Yes, we're already part of.
I'm very glad. Anyhow, I don't speak so much. I think I'm better writing than speaking, because sometimes I get confused with the wording, but I get the main idea, so I can contribute with my ideas. But in any way that I can contribute, I will be very happy to do it.
Well, it's we have to think about shuffling. Maybe in time we'll talk about who can be also the Latin America ambassador, or maybe you take on both roles. Because one person in Spain, by the name of Zora Bina, she's an MBA, and one heck of a dynamic woman. I've talked to her a few times, and we're thinking of having her acting as Spain's ambassador.
That'd be great.
She doesn't want the role of an associate. She thinks this is too Mickey Mousey, so she wants something of responsibility and influence. This is a very forceful woman, in a good way, and I think she can do a lot. She's going to be going to a conference next month with 800 delegates and so on, and she wants to promote the standard and see how far she can go with the AICI Spain chapter, in influencing them to adopting the ET standards and so on.
That will be great. I'm also going to Spain on November, so maybe I can meet her. And in the meantime, I can talk to her by Skype or whatever.
I think that
Lillian, can you talk to the? Can you speak to the chapter?
Yes, of course. I could talk to Carrie, just in case I could speak to the chapter. They are forming the Madrid, also the Madrid City Circle. I'm going to an etiquette and protocol conference that is going to be in Valladolid. And maybe I can talk to Carrie just in case we can, I think, all the members of the Spain chapter is going to be there, so I can talk to them, or I can have a Skype call to all the members of the chapter Spain. I can do it.
Yeah, please. Super. Please, Lillian, if you do that, let them know what hat you are wearing.
Yes. I know the hat. I know the hat.
No, you have two, but they know that you will be wearing the IITI hat that day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I have to that in mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we also have another meeting on Wednesday. I'm not sure. How many can attend that one as well? That's the day after tomorrow.
And I think that was on the schedule. That was the day that everybody said they could make it. That's why I
that's great. Yeah.
There are only so many days that everybody can be attend. Mm-hmm. So I just picked everybody could.
That's very good, Kimberly. Thank you.
Is there enough stuff to talk about in the day after tomorrow? Or
yeah.
Can we better use that time for working on COW?
I'm hoping that you can work on COW without using too much of the board meeting time, because I see that you collaborate very well on offline here. What I want to talk about on Wednesday, if everybody agrees, is that patron saint idea that I was talking about. Are we too early? Are we, I want to hear your concerns. I want to hear, am I crazy? You're trying to find patron saints around the world for our cause, which is promoting world civility and world peace. And I'm not thinking that I'm really out of line, because when you come to think about it, it's really people's interaction that are causing all these issues about, you know, egos and narcissism and all that. And that is because of a lack of soft skills and awareness of others. So I'm thinking that, can we have a coherent kind of approach to approaching these people that I mentioned, like the Queen of Qatar. She's one of the richest women in the world, very, very progressive Muslim, and she wants to have Qatar as the center of Muslim culture, progressive culture. So she doesn't wear a veil, so she wears headscarf to show her identity. I think she's one of the persons that we should try to approach if we can. The other group would be the five women who got the Nobel Prize for World Peace. So these are the women that are mover shakers, and they form a group banding together and try to do something. Can we tap into that? So, you know, those are kind of people that perhaps we would be able to help them, and they help us along the way too. Just to let them know that we exist, even if they decline, I think is a win already for us, because you just never know when the ET name would come up in their conversation once they know that we agree. So I want to spend some time on Wednesday to talk about that. You'll be brainstorming. To me, it will be really fun because, you know, we're talking about something that big game changers for us and big game changers for the world in the coming months and years.
Patrick, what is your definition of patriotism? Like, I don't
Patron saints. Well, I came from Catholic school, and patron saint is somebody who is an advocate, is a staunch supporter of the cause of the school in that sense. So a patron saint for ET would be somebody who animately agree with what our cause is, and would speak up for it, would be the spokesperson, would advocate for us, would further the movement, the civility movement that we're trying to give the world this message, and that it can be measured, and that and people can work on it in some way.
And is there is there a neutral title for that?
Patron saint, I don't know how Deborah, for example, you feel, and also Lillian also came from a Catholic background. From a religious point of view, I don't know. For me, it's okay. You know, using, even of course, I remember Reed was saying that, you know, Patrick, don't use the word Bible to describe SMG because some people may not like it, and I go, wow, that's very true, because I never thought about it could be offensive to somebody because I'm using the word Bible in a non-religious context. So maybe I shouldn't use the word patron saint. If any of you think that this can be offensive.
Yeah, but how do other organizations use these kind of people? I know we have the, let's say, an organization called War Child, and it is a non-profit trying to get war out of the children. And we have some of our famous Dutch singers, etc., are ambassadors for that organization. Oh. So we call them ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And then,
yes.
Which means they speak up and they are on the front of the of publications. Their head is on their website, and we call them ambassadors. But mm-hmm. since we have ambassadors as another entity, or as one of the image consultants being an ambassador for an area, that might not be the correct word. Or now that we don't have an ambassador anymore, we can come up with another word for the ambassadors. I don't know, but How are these people called in the US? If someone is on, like, say, let's say a football player is on the web page of a bank,
they would be like a spokesperson or. But what? So how would this role differ from the other advocacy roles that we already have in place?
Yeah, and we can talk about that on Wednesday.
Okay.
So, yeah, well, I would suggest, because it's almost 2 hours now, and
yeah, no, I agree.
I need to leave anyway in a couple of minutes.
Cool. Sounds good. Anything else before we wrap up? Oh, Deborah?
Nope, I think that's... I'm going to just write out a few thoughts here that I had to clarify what I was trying to communicate earlier, and hopefully that will help with getting some answers so that I have better clarity.
That's good. Yeah. Don't be shy to let me know, and I'll see what I can do to explain it. And also with this kind of dialogue, I also can improve the white paper. And when I talk to the Gartner people, and whoever else around the world, I can also have this open dialogue with them, saying that, you know, this is our concern, and when our people go out and talk to companies, they have this concern, and Gartner, you never know, they may come up with a solution. It seems like you're quite open to what I'm talking about, and sharing ideas, all on you know, no fee charge either way kind of basis. So it's very collaborative, and I'm very, very happy that, you know, these people are willing to entertain, you know, what ET has to offer. It's great. Lynn?
Yeah. She went out.
Oh, okay.
She has got sent a note, and she says that let me read it, but it says that she's saying, "Hi all, sound went away completely, so I sign off." That is what she wrote.
Okay. We'll catch her on Wednesday then. Lillian, any last thought before we wrap up?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I will connect on Wednesday too, so we can keep going with your thoughts. And regarding the saints, I think it's right. It's not the saint, it's more a Catholic term. We will not have so many Catholics here in ITTI. So I would call them ambassadors or supporting leaders or something like that.
More than
a saint.
Okay, yeah, sure, we can talk more in detail on Wednesday about this. I think this is you know, I just find it very exciting that, you know, we can talk about either way, whether we agree to go out and find patron saint now or not. I think it's a good exercise, because eventually we will get somebody like that.
It is at least thinking outside of the box.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Kimberly, anything? Any last thought?
Nope.
Okay. I think that's it then. Let's wrap it up. Thank you very much, and congratulations again. Lillian, welcome to become an ET director. I'll make that announcement online on all our social media so that people will know about this then.
Patrick, and you completed it with Christina, correct?
Christina
is okay. It's just, I think it's good to communicate it with Christina before it's announced.
Oh yes, yes. I'll let Christina
know. Avoid her upset
know.
Somehow.
Yes, yeah. So was Christina still coming to the meeting when we were talking about this?
No.
She wasn't. Okay.
No.
I'll let her know about it then.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for reminding. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. And
thank you, everyone.
Yes.
See you all on Wednesday. Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.